pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we're thankful for all the great blessings that you've given us, Lord, and we just pray that we would just not take them for granted and see that they're right there in front of us, and we pray, Lord, that we would see that here today, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. So last week we started 2 John, and we got parked here a little on the fact that John is an elder. And he's an elder to this lady and the children he is writing to in this second epistle of John. And we went through what the word elder means. And again, it simply means born at an earlier date or somebody that is of a higher rank or leader or somebody that has seniority. Okay? And we also started to go through what the responsibility of an elder is. And the responsibility of an elder is to be an example to the younger. And that's the way the Lord has set this thing up on this earth, that the elder would always be an example to the younger, and the younger would learn from the elder. And that's the way it is in nature, and that's the way it is with the natural man, and that's the way it is with the spiritual life that we're to live once you're saved. And so, look if you would in 1 Peter. Again, we'll see some authority on this. 1 Peter 5:1. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock." Okay, so the responsibility of an elder is to feed the flock, right? Flee the flock of God which is among you. What did the disciples do, right? I mean, look back when Jesus was on the earth and he was speaking to the multitudes. And what did the disciples do? They took what God gave them, and they gave it to others, did they not? And that's what we're to do. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, meaning, it's your duty to do that, right? But we don't do it because it's our duty. We do it of a willing mind here. We don't have to be forced to do this thing. It's something that we do willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither of being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay? And so this leadership is an oversight, and it's something that, again, we do this willingly. Again, we take what God gives us, and we give it to others, and that's what love is. That's what love is, giving to others, taking what God gives you and give it to somebody else. And so the job of an elder is to minister what God has given us to others and not to force feed it. Right, we're not to force feed this stuff down people's throat here. Oversight is something that should never be forced. It's given by example. Look at what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He didn't force people to believe in him. He didn't do that. He just he gave what God gave him to give to them himself. Right, and if people want to believe, fine. If people don't want to believe, that's fine too. But also know that there is consequences to what you do with Jesus Christ if you don't do what you're supposed to do with him, because it is commandments. Those are commandments. But we're never to be forceful with the stuff that God has given us. You just do these things for as an example, and you don't do them for money. You don't do them for money. Meaning, you give it out willingly. You don't withhold what God has given you for lucre, for money. You give it out. And you don't worry about the money. The Lord will reward you later in heaven with whatsoever he deems fit. And that's the way we need to look at those things. Because you never want to get in a position where you don't give somebody the truth because they didn't give you money for it, right? Truth, the Bible says to buy the truth and to sell it not. And so it's our responsibility to do whatever we got to do to get it and to give it out for free. And so, and that's the way the Lord wants it done, and that's the way he writes it. And so we give these things out willingly, and the Lord rewards us later. And now look at here at John here. What is he seeing in his life, right? He's seen the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his friend. That's his friend, and Jesus called him friend. And he was Jesus' friend. He's seen him killed. He's seen the apostles killed. He's one of the last apostles to be alive today, or at the time of this writing. And he's seen Christians persecuted for what they believed. He's ridiculed. And what is he doing? He's loving in truth. That's what he's doing. 1 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. He's loving. And he's going to give her some truths here. And he's going to give her what God has given him to give this lady and her children, to preserve her. And so, but he's still loving in truth, and he's rejoicing as he's leading this dear woman. That's what he's doing. He's going to lead her here in the way that she needs to go. And that's what an elder does. Leads by an example. He leads by example, okay? And so, but he's not somebody that's full of hate because of all the bad things he's seen in his Christian life. He's not. He's somebody that he's full of love. He's full of peace. He's full of all the fruits of the Spirit here. And that's what it is. That's the way it's presented. And people, especially Christians, that want to live an abundant life amongst a church, they're not going to want to follow somebody that's full of hate, folks. They're just not going to do it. They want to follow the type of person that has a good attitude, even though they've been through all the things that sorrows and things of this life, especially when they're doing it for the Lord. And that's who they want to follow. They don't want to follow somebody that's hateful and mean and bitter. And so, look if you would in 1 Peter 5 again. 1 Peter 5. There's some other things we see here in verse 5. It says, the Bible says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Okay, so there's a submission thing there. From the younger to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Okay? And so, now we're all to be in subjection to each other here, as 1 Peter 5:5 says, when it comes to the Word of God, folks. Right? And what does this mean here? What does this mean? It's like this. If you see your brother... whether or not he's older than you or not, going down the wrong path, you're to help your brother. You're to help him. You're not to be the one that just walks on by. And I don't know, some of you guys in construction, you've probably seen the videos where when you see these safety videos, you go through, sit through some safety, and you see the guy, and he sees this guy getting ready to get hurt, and it's a real weird thing, but it's a kind of like a music thing, and he just walks on by, and the guy ends up getting hurt, and keeps going on and on and on, and because he didn't do anything. And folks, if you're younger than somebody that's older, and you see that older person going down a pathway that's going to get him hurt, it's our duty to help him out. To help him out, it is. And it doesn't have to be you rebuking him. Because, folks, we'll get through it here in a second here, but the Bible, if you give somebody the Word of God, you're not rebuking anybody. You're not. You're not. And so, but you're to help him. You're to help him. You give him the Scripture about what he's doing in a loving way. And don't be the one to just walk on by. We all need help at times, folks, even the people that are a little older than us. And there might not be anybody else there to help them out, right? at the time. And so you don't just want to be the one that walks on by. Now, there is a certain equality in the body of Christ in that we are subject one to another. And that's what the Bible says here. We're subject one to another. Now, how are we younger supposed to treat somebody that's older than us? Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. The Bible says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women. So an elder, folks, an elder doesn't just limit somebody to being a man in the church. It could be a woman. It could be a woman, right? The elder woman as motherless, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor the widows that are widows indeed, and so on. And so here we see in 1 Timothy, when an elder is trying to help a younger person, we as younger are not to rebuke the elder, folks. We're not to rebuke them. And we're to be respectful to them and hear what they're saying to us, right? Whether it's with words or whether it's with what their actions are. We're to hear it, see. And we're not to say, well, you're not my dad, and I don't have to listen to you. That's disrespectful to an elder, folks. That's rebuking an elder. Who are you to tell me what to do? I'm not related to you. And you see that all the time. And the way things are going, younger people are getting more and more disrespectful to the elderly person in every case, in the church and in the world, folks. And it's just, people just have a disrespect for somebody that's older than them, and they don't want anything to do with them. But that's rebuking an elder. No, we're to give an elder person the same respect. we're to give them the same respect as you would give your own dad and your own mother. Look, it says right here, the elder women as mothers. We're to rebuke not an elder, but to entreat him as a father. Just as you would talk to your dad, right? When he's instructing you about something. And let me tell you, if you talk to your dad like you talk to an elder, like what I just portrayed, you got a backhand, right? Me and my brother would sit on, I would sit on the right hand. I was on the strong hand of my dad, and my brother was on the left hand. Well, my dad was a little slow with his left hand one time, and my brother did something I can't remember. But he did something, and he put the glass up right in front of his face. And my dad didn't care. He just went like this, and my brother ducked. And my dad fell off the chair, and I thought, uh-oh. He's in deep trouble now, man. But my mom got in there and everything and kind of calmed him down and everything. But, yeah. And we kind of joke about that even to this day. But yeah, the glass didn't protect you. You didn't put the glass up there and it was going to protect you because you just didn't want to be disrespectful to my dad. And that's how we're to be to elders and treat them as a father, right? And you give them the same respect as you give your own dad and mom. And the Bible says, the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother. Guess what an elder gets, right? Honor. They get honor. And folks, if you want to live a long life, right? If you want to live a long life, what is the first commandment with promise? To honor thy father and mother and thy mother. That this is the first commandment with promise, meaning there's a promise that goes with that. And if you do that, your life will not be shortened because you listened, right? And because you honored. That's the promise. It may be shortened for some other reason, but not because you didn't honor your mom and your father, okay? And so, if you want to live a long life, well, we had better entreat the elder man and the elder women as our own fathers and our own mothers. And that's the Bible, folks. And not only that, but but those that lead us in the way of the Lord. They get honor. They get an honor doubly. Doubly, the Bible says. Why? Because they're already supposed to get the same honor that you give your mom and dad. And because they're leading you in a spiritual way, they get another honor. They get another honor for the leadership in your spiritual life. Why? Because they care enough about you labor in the word and doctrine, and they give it out to you for nothing. It's double honor. Double honor. And that goes for any elder that labors in the word of doctrine, not just the pastor, folks. This doesn't just apply to the pastor. This applies to any elder that labors in the word of doctrine, labors in the word and in doctrine, and he gives it out. And so, why? Because they're caring and nurturing for our spiritual life in Christ, right? That's why they get that. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy 5:17, the Bible says, "Let the elders rule well, that rule well be counted of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." That's what this double honor is. Now we in the body of Christ ought to know that if there be any that rise up in accusation of an elder, we should know enough scripture here to know that if there's not two witnesses, you're not even to bring it up. Because if you do, it's sin. Look if you would. Verse 19. "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." So there are times when things need to be brought forth. Especially if two people witness something that the elder has done that is wrong. They're to bring it forth. Why? We saw earlier, right? We're to be in subject one to another. When we see somebody going down the wrong path, you can help them. And if they don't want to help, you take somebody. If somebody else sees it, you try and get that straightened out. And that's the way we need to help each other. And that's biblical, folks. That's biblical. And so the only way that an accusation should ever be considered against an elder is if there's two or more witnesses. And if it's not, then you don't receive the accusation as true. Right? You just can't. You can't. And that's 1 Timothy 5:19. Not only that, but it's sin for one person to bring any accusation against an elder. And when that happens, that younger person is to be rebuked. Rebuked before all. Look, if you would, verse 20, "Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may also fear." And so, but what happens if the accusation is brought against the elder in the proper way? Right? I mean, we can't just look at this is a younger person that's being disrespectful, you know, going outside the Bible qualifications to bring something forth and bring an accusation forth, right? What happens if it's found that an elder is in sin? Rebuke before all. Okay, but what about this chapter in verse 5? What if the person that has to give the rebuke is younger? Think about that. Verse 5, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." This, I don't believe that goes with this. And even if it did, when a person is rebuked, they are not rebuked with your words and your thoughts and your imaginations, right? When somebody is rebuked, they're given the Bible, the scripture. This is wrong. This is what the Bible says. All right? We should be divorced of our feelings when it comes to sin and what God thinks of sin in the Bible. Right? We should be divorced of that. It's not what I think. What does the Bible say? And this rebuke is not given out in such a way as according to what man thinks about what the person that has sinned did, but the rebuke is from God. in that the Bible says this, right? And this is why, folks, the Bible should be our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Why? Because if there is a rebuke that is needed to be given, we know that it's coming from God. It's coming from God and not ourselves. And folks, we should be 100% sure here that and positive that when it comes to the spiritual age and physical age of God, He has us all beat, right? He does. And we should be able to take the rebuke not as is the word of man, but as it is the words of God. There's a big difference between saying, you're not my dad, I don't have to listen to you, then, hey, the Bible says this, and we're not to do that here, right? Okay? And so hopefully we see that difference with this rebuke. One is coming from God through His words, and one is coming from you not wanting to respect an elder, or somebody else, a younger person not wanting to respect an elder, and says, I don't have to listen to you, and you're not my dad, and all this other stuff. And so, let's look at some of the benefits of having an elder around in the body of Christ in the church. One benefit of having elders around in the body of Christ and in the local church is that there may come a time where you need to call on this elder for a purpose. There may come a time for that. Because of some sickness you may have. Now, when you're sick, especially if it's a bad sickness, folks, we want everybody to pray for us, right? Especially the group of people that you hang around with. And usually, younger people hang around with younger people, and mid-aged people hang around with mid-aged people, and the older people hang around with older people. And so we hear some of the ailments there, and yeah, sure, it's great for your buddies to pray for you, your friends to pray for you, right? It is. And you want them to do that. and nothing happens. Where's God at? Right? I'm praying. My friends are praying. Where's He at? How come I'm not getting better? Right? Well, there may come a time where you need to go to somebody else. Look, if you would, in James. James 5. Now, we know the book of James is written through, right? But elders throughout this New Testament, folks. And John's an elder talking to a saved woman in a church here. And here's James 5:14. The Bible says, if any, verse 13, if is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any married, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so there are times when you need to seek out the elders of the church to pray for you, especially when your prayers seem to be not getting answered. I mean, folks, I mean, if you can't get a hold of God and your peers in the church can't get a hold of God, a good thing to do would to go find some of the elderly people that have lived the Christian life longer than you have, right? And they've probably prayed more than you have, and they've been walking the Christian life for a long time, and it seems like every time they pray, they seem to get a hold of God, right? Desperate times calls for desperate measures, and when you're desperate, somebody that's desperate enough will seek somebody out that's lived a little bit longer than you and find out what is going on here. Why can't we get this thing taken care of? And hey, there may be some sin in your life. I don't know. It could be. Maybe it's not. And maybe it never gets taken care of, but hey, at least you did everything you could according to the Bible, and you've gone through every avenue that you could go through. And if God still doesn't hear, maybe He's just for His glory. And He wants to get glory out of the thing, okay? And so you need to get through all these avenues and find out what's going on. And a lot of times the elders of the church have the experience and know how to pray to be able to get these things taken care of. You see why an elder should get double honor, folks? They are the ones that have the ability to get a hold of God to lengthen your life. They do. They can get a hold of God to lengthen your life. And not only can they lengthen your physical life, but because they're caring for your spiritual life, that's automatically a help to your physical life. It's automatically. And so not only are elders a benefit to have around in times of despair and times of prayer, but they're good to have around during times of difficulty, and especially with disputes among what the Bible says and how it's interpreted. Look, if you would, in Acts 15. Acts 15. There's a reason why the Lord has these things set up the way they are. Acts 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissentation and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. Okay, so for everybody that thinks that church is this big happy family where everybody agrees about everything, right? Here in the book of Acts, you find that that's not the case even back in the days when the apostles were on the earth, right? And so, folks, all men have feet of clay, even the apostles. And yeah, Acts is a transition book. But, I mean, this is 50 years later. This is 50 years later, and Paul's teaching Gentiles, right? But there's this dispute amongst believers back then in this time, and there's disputes today. And think about it for a moment. If everybody has the same attitude, or if you don't agree with them, they have this attitude that I'm taking my ball and I'm going home, right? That's what you find with the kids on the basketball courts. But you know, that's what happens in the churches. People leave all the time because nobody agrees or somebody doesn't agree with them about a certain subject. And that's what it is, folks. And pride is a culprit here. Pride is a culprit. Let's read the verses here. Paul and Barnabas get into a schoolyard a fight and dispute with these teachers from Judea, and we have the same disputes today. We have the same disputes today. But you know what they did? They sought out leadership. When they couldn't agree, they sought out the leadership that was available to them, which was the other apostles and elders of a church. And the matters were settled there. But the reason why that matters don't get settled in the churches today is because men are too proud to go to the people in authority and the people that are the elders of the church to find out what they think about the subjects. And they'll just... folks, God never blesses the proud person. And they'll walk right out, and God will let them walk right out. Why? Because he didn't go seek help from the elders and the people that are equipped to handle that. Don't you think it's the people that are older are better equipped to show you... So show me, show us a more perfect way in the scriptures? I think so, folks. I think so. And you've got that. You find that in Acts 18. There's a guy there by the name of Apollos who was teaching the word of God. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard what he was teaching, what did they do? They showed him the way of God more perfectly. They did. And you know what? He allowed them to do that. Why? Because pride didn't get in the way. Pride will get in the way of you getting the answers to the disputes that we have amongst each other. another benefit of having elders in the church is that they recognize the next generation of elders and spiritual leaders in the church. They're going to recognize that and point that out. And folks, that's how the church keeps going on and on. And it had been going on for 2,000 years, right? That's found in Acts 14:19. You have Barnabas and Paul, and those guys were, they've been saved for some time already. And folks, when you have somebody saved for 40 years, don't you think they know who's going to make it and who's not? And who's going to help down the line and continue the church? They know. They know. Again, another benefit of having older men and older women in the church is not only for all these things that we discuss, but they provide protection, folks. They provide protection for those that would come in to divide and harm God's people. They're wolves. They're wolves. And they're there to guard against the wolves that would come in to destroy and eat up the people. They'll eat them up. And so a local church is important. Why? Because in a local Bible-believing church, you're gonna find that God has given those that trust in Him everything they need. Everything they need to grow up into the Christian that He wants everybody to be. And when a person understands that you don't want you know what they're going to find? They're going to find that they're going to be happy. They will. They'll find that they're going to be happy. It's comforting, folks. It's comforting to know that in a local church there's protection, right? There's not only protection, but you get answers to your questions, especially about the Bible. There's answers there. They're readily available. And these are found from asking the elderly people there that have been around. It's comforting to know that when you can't get a hold of God, that there's somebody in the church that can. Right? That's comforting. It's comforting. And it's comforting to know that you've got the example right before you, sitting in the pews, to be able to live and walk the Christian life. And so there's happiness in a local Bible-believing church. And an elder in the church, outside of God and the Bible, right, is the most important person there and the most valuable. So much so that God says that they get double honor, those that labor in the Word of God and those that are in doctrine. Why? Because they're the ones that will care about all the spiritual needs of the people in that church. And we need to not take that lightly. And so we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the things that you've given the body of Christ, especially the elders. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. And hopefully we see how important they really are and the important role that they play in the local in the local church and in the body of Christ. And we pray that we would never forsake that assembly of the believers together, Father, because there we find we're comforted through the examples of the elderly people there. And we're thankful for them, and we pray that we would treat them the way we should. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.